Hello there. Are you ready to hear tales of the paranormal, weird, unexplained, and just plain creepy? If the answer is yes, then welcome to your worst nightmare. But be warned, there's no turning back. Now here are Todd, Sean, and Nate, and they are middle-aged and creeped out.
Hey, creepies, welcome to episode 151. Nate is your tech engineer, award-winning tech engineer.
Oh.
And we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. What's going on, boys?
You probably didn't need that sound effect for me, did you?
Mm-hmm.
It's like Looney Tunes.
No, we didn't, but that's all right. That's all right. You can always add sounds.
You can just put that on my bill.
Nonsense. Yeah. You guys doing all right? What is this, Wednesday?
It's recording night. Fantastic.
It's a little foggy out.
Froggy, yep.
Yeah, froggy and foggy.
That's right.
Froggy went to court.
Man, it was...
He did right.
It's bad tonight.
Oh, no.
But that's good because it's warmer.
Yeah.
It's 50 degrees on my way here.
That's right.
It's better than, five? That's
yeah,
than
right.
It was
negative
just a few
22.
Days ago.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot more wet. All the snow's gone, so...
Yep.
Got my hair cut today, and we were talking about that. I said, I don't have to shovel rain. So
that's right.
I don't have to shovel fog. But, yeah, we're doing
someday
good,
we'll be shoveling sunshine.
Mm.
Sunlight.
I thought you'd say money.
Yeah.
Oh,
I wish.
Oh, yeah, baby.
I told Amy when we were heading to Elijah's ball game the other day, I said, I wish I was mowing the lawn right now. And she goes, no, you don't.
No,
right?
You
and
don't.
I was
no,
like, I yes, really. I do. And she's like, right. And I go, what are you talking about? She thought I meant as it's there's snow on. I go, no, I meant, I said, I mean it. I wish it was 80 degrees. And yeah. It was. She's like, oh, okay, that makes sense. So, yeah. Not mowing
summertime
the lawn,
toddy.
But snow on it.
You move too fast.
I'm quick, Nate. I'm quick. good. I'm glad you guys are having a good week. I'm having a pretty good week. Like I said, I got my ears lowered today. And mm-hmm. pretty non-eventful.
So that signs of a good day.
I know. We're getting close to February.
Yeah.
Which means
the month of love.
We can say, well, no, but well, yeah.
The to some
of love.
Yeah. Technically, we could say next month, the next month is our 3-year anniversary.
Uh huh.
See what I'm saying?
I
do you see where
you.
I'm going?
I do, yeah.
Yeah.
Creeping up.
That's right. Man, I told Brenda today. I said March 13th.
Mm-hmm.
It's our 3-year anniversary.
That's right.
She goes, "You still doing well?" I said, "Yeah, we're doing well." I said, mm-hmm. "So having fun?" I said, "Yeah, we're still having fun."
Speak for yourself.
She goes, "Are you rich?" I go, "No,
not shoveling money.
You don't have, but we're having lots of fun."
You don't have a
rich money. With friendships.
You don't
that's
have
right,
a money
right.
bin yet.
Scrooge. Yeah, no. I said, no. But yeah, I'm glad everybody's having a good week, safe mm-hmm. week. Hope all the creepies, whenever they listen to this, are having a good week, day, whatever. Today, tonight, whatever, this episode is going to be Todd's dad riddle
okay.
of the show. So I haven't done a riddle in a few weeks,
it's
right?
It's been a minute, yeah.
It's been a minute, right. It's been a minute, as the kids say. Okay, Nate and Sean. Sean and Nate and the creepies. Are you ready for the riddle?
Riddle me.
Yes.
As ready as I'm going to be.
Who can finish a book without finishing a sentence?
Can finish a book without finishing a sentence. Does this have something to do with jail? Like a prisoner.
Inmate?
Yeah. That's
prisoner.
Yeah. Good hey, job. I got one!
Wow.
I got one!
It only took him 400 episodes.
That's good.
Yeah.
I was like, that sounds like something to do with criminals.
Yeah, that is.
And I'm mostly prisoner.
Out of
that's
the,
what I get for
out
living.
Of the 50 I could choose, I was like, I think which they have a good chance of getting it, but...
Sean could get this one.
Yeah. So.
Well, that's what I get for living across from a prison for so long.
I was gonna ask this one. It says,
bonus.
I only lie down once in my life. When I die, what am I? I only lie down once when I die.
Tree, a plant, flower.
Tree.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Look at me.
Look
go!
At this guy. Hold on, Nate. Wait, do we have an? Do we have a
where
doppelganger?
Was
he has a fever.
Check his
103.
Yeah. There ought to be a song lyric about that.
I'm hot in the city, baby.
Man, look at that. Look at you.
I know. My brain's working.
Yes. So
I'm getting blood flow or something.
There is your dad riddle and bonus riddle of the show.
Is it okay to say that the meds have finally kicked in?
Is it? Wow. I'm like, I was really surprised he got the first one.
Hour and a half, a year and a half.
I was tasting colors.
Not trying to insult you, Sean, but I was waiting for Nate to go prisoner. he's pretty sharp on these riddles.
He was handing me the answers under the table.
I think I did see Nate go.
Prisoner. Yeah.
I did say inmate.
You did?
Mm-hmm. He's throwing his voice over. Yeah, he did. So that's right.
Well, good job. Good job. All right, Sean, your turn.
Oh, my turn. Yeah. The first part of the announcement.
See, he's so stunned.
I'm in shock and dismay. Yeah. First part of the announcements, we say this every time. I do, right?
You say that every time.
This is, I do, and you point that out every once in a while.
And I say that every time.
We come here for the fun, the paranormal, the unexplained, the creepy, the guy time, Wednesday nights normally, right? But the most important thing we do, and we'll continue to do until death do us part here, we are going to build a community for mental health. So we want you guys to get help out there when you need it. Call or text 988 for any type of mental distress, suicide prevention, or any other type of crisis that you may be experiencing. You can also text home to 741-741 for professional help. If you or someone you know is experiencing bullying, contact stopbullying.gov for help. Reach out to our Facebook group, Instagram account, email, or message us for added support. That is what our Mako family is all about.
Nice job.
Thank you.
Good job, Sean. Oh. Man, it's not too bad.
Mm-hmm. Not good either. But
no, I didn't say.
It's mediocre at best. But
that was the other part of the riddle. It's not bad, but not too good either. Decent job. I'd say, Nate, decent job for this guy.
I'm decently excited.
Par for the course.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. I'll stay for another episode or two.
Well, yeah, we'll see. No, hope the creepies are being, what's the
well-behaved?
Word?
Well-behaved?
No. Gosh, we don't want that. We're not well-behaved. No, I want them being diligent in
getting
care
help.
Of their, yes.
That's right.
So doing whatever
body, mind,
they
spirit.
Need to do. That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
We love you guys. So we want you healthy. Let's just move it right along. Shout outs. Nate, do you have any shout outs?
No.
Dang it.
All right.
He's got shout outs.
All right. That's a par for the course for
that's right.
Sean.
I'm going to give two shout outs. One shout out to my old employers and employees or whatever and coworkers from Hendrix. So I had left Hendrix a couple weeks back. So I shout out to all of them and love them dearly. They've been sending me a lot of love as I've been transitioning to my other shout out, which is Witham. So I'm now Witham. Yes, I'm Witham at hospital, Witham Hospital in Lebanon.
Better Witham without
them. That's right. And so I just finished my third day in. So I'm my first week. And shout out to all my new coworkers and loving them there. They're making me feel very welcome.
Good.
And good. So I'm happy and getting transitioned, and my week has been good.
Awesome. And I know you met some good people. At Hendrix,
I have. I'm sure I'll be giving them shout outs as we go here. So
I want to say on behalf of the podcast, don't take it out on us. If you were listening to the show before, before Sean quit, don't take it out on our downloads.
Oh, you mean Hendrix.
yes, Hendrix. Because I know there were a few people that do.
Loyal listeners.
Listen, yeah, yeah. So.
Both
keep,
of them.
Keep, no. keep listening. keep on listening, please.
All two of them.
Yeah, all two.
After that, it's going to be one.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, forget it. So anyway, well, good. I'm glad that your week's going well.
I will. Keith listened to the McPike episode. Mm. He sent me a text later that afternoon, evening, and he's like, listen to the episode. He's
cool.
Like, thank you so much for the shout outs. He loved it. And he said, I want you guys to get there. You got to see all those haunted areas. And then he went and told Jen on the other end, hey, did you hear they gave me a shout out and they talked about, you know, a good part of the episode about me. And she goes, yeah, you're practically famous. And he goes, I know. And he's like, and we're all going together. So she's like, he's already ready to go with you guys. And
oh,
I said,
man.
It really is one of those places that like we could technically, or, you know, not technically go. We do need to go. It's only a couple hours away. So,
yeah.
But yeah, he said then after that, we're all going to Vegas. So he's got, we just need to
take
a little
Vegas
bit of time.
Let's see. Alton, Illinois, and then Vegas. Wow, that's a kind of a different, you know. Well, that's cool. Well, good. I'm glad Keith was listening, and he enjoyed
right.
the episode.
He did.
Thank you for listening, Kevin.
Not Kevin, Keith.
Did you give your shout-outs?
I did.
I mean, you said Oh, was it the Hendrix and
there's
Whitman,
too many people to mention,
right?
both sides.
Is that why you're... Okay, I didn't know if you were saying that's like... Okay, I got you.
I'm good.
Let's see. I don't have a shout-out tonight, but I do want to mention that we were on our good friend Kevin. He is the host of the awesome Where the Weird Ones Are podcast. We were on there about 2-3 weeks ago, and when he dropped the episode, which dropped... last Wednesday, the 17th, our episode and a few episodes before that, and now the latest one he dropped, is not able to be listened on iTunes for some reason. He's having issues. So I just want to let you know, I know we were talking about it and all that. So if you listen to iTunes and you're trying to find and you want to listen to Where the Weird Ones Are in our episode number 86, for some reason, he's having issues, so I had to listen to it on Spotify. I know Sean did. Mm-hmm. So I don't know about other apps, if you can listen to it, I'd imagine. So he's just having a hard time with his host. So give it a listen, though. So we might have to, like I said, if you're an iTunes listener like I am, you might find a different app to listen to it, because it's really good. It's a really good episode. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to have Kevin on our show in a couple weeks.
That's right.
Something like that.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know the exact date, but... So I wanted to mention that, and that is it. So, Sean.
Yes.
What are we going to talk about tonight?
We are going to talk about the Snedeker House. Did I say it wrong? The Snedeker.
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 I thought you were kidding. Snedeker.
I'm sorry. Snedeker.
Not Gosh. Snedeker.
Snedeker.
Like a Snickers.
What is wrong with
Snedeker?
I don't know.
Nate
Snedeker.
You know, usually I say cut his mic off. I hit him over the head.
I haven't listened to videos.
The fever is gone.
Snedeker.
Snedeker.
Snedeker? No.
Not
Snedeker.
Not Snedeker. And not Snedeker. What did you say? Snedeker. I'm like, what are you talking
about? I was like, that's not making any better.
Oh, my gosh.
Sneakers?
I apologize, Snedeker.
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 If I just say it fast enough, it'll come out right.
Snedeker.
Snedeker.
All right.
Sned.
Let's move on with the foundation, would you?
The Snedeker. Now I can't say it right.
Are you?
Snedeker family. I'm seriously having a brain fart with it. That family moved into a house located at 208 Meridian Avenue in Southington, Connecticut. Or Southington? To live closer to the Yukon Hospital where their son, Philip, was being treated for Hodgkin's lymphoma. The family later claimed that the house was plagued by some manner of demonic presence. Mortuary equipment was discovered in the basement, and it was later found that the house had been a funeral home.
Yes. I was actually, I've got all my information here, but I was listening to a 10-minute video, and... listening to somebody talk about it is really creepy, and especially when it's dark out, it's foggy. I'm like, okay, it's creeping me out, which is good. I like to be creeped out. So, yeah, this is a really cool story.
And this true story inspired a horror film.
It did.
And what was that, Nate?
The Haunting in Connecticut.
Yes.
Have you seen it?
I don't think I have, but I want to now.
I have not, but I have heard it's a really good one. Mm-hmm. It's one of the better films with exorcisms and all that.
After listening to it and all the details and everything, it is pretty closely based. I mean, they changed some things in the movie, but it is very closely related to the actual events.
Yeah. I wanted to see it. And actually, I mentioned it, about a month ago when we were trying, Amy and I were trying to find... movies, and then we found one, and I just, if I don't write it down, it's gone until we maybe say it on the on something like this. But I heard it is very good, though, and I heard it's very scary,
I bet.
Yeah, so do we want to go to a haunted ex-mortuary?
Yes.
I say yeah.
Heck, why not?
I say.
Would you live there, though?
Oh, turning it into a house or whatever?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
People live there all the time.
Yeah. Know? Oh, yeah. I'm thinking if it had... That demonic stuff, that kind of gets me. That I don't want to put...
Well, no, I wouldn't want anything like that in there.
Yeah, no. And if it was just like... If you knew you had like a ghost or some spirits that were just playful and, benign, and they're just... I wouldn't want to bother me a bit. It'd be great. But, man, when you start getting into like the sinister type stuff, I don't need that.
How do you think it got there? Huh? Well, how do you think the demonic presence got there?
I don't know.
I think it's a conglomerate of all the different.
Well, how
souls
do they get in wherever, you know?
Yeah, that's right.
Prisons, yeah. But usually it's like, you know, I mean, yeah,
it's a lot of death there.
Yeah, I don't know. And it, you know, who knows, maybe something existed before that. I don't know. You know, yeah. Like we've always talked about.
Indian burial ground.
No. Yeah, ladies in white. You know.
That's right.
Yeah, all I know is it would be very freaky and creepy. It's like scary creepy.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
What was really tough for them is because they lived further away from the hospital, and it was rough trying to get their son there for his
treatments. It's like a three-hour drive or whatever. Yeah.
So they're looking for a place closer, so mm-hmm. they found this place. So then
they're renting it
and locked into it and sort of had to put up with a lot of this stuff just for the aspect that they're closer to the hospital for the son.
Yeah.
So that really makes it tough.
I know. And then, you know, and we talk about all these houses or whatever, apartments or whatever the, mm-hmm. the people live in. I mean, the average person just can't go, you know, because the video I was listening to on the way here, you know, and again, it's been asked 1,000 times, like, why would a family stay mm-hmm. there? Well, not everybody can just up and move. I mean, you think of the logistics and the time,
like,
and
the
furniture, and if you have kids, I mean, that's just a lot of, you know.
Just like the demon house up in Gary.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Why didn't you leave? It was like, I couldn't afford to leave.
Right.
Where am I going to go?
Right. And then you're just kind of like hoping it goes away or gets better.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, the average person, you're going to have to be stuck there for a while. I mean, until you figure out, especially when you have kids, mm-hmm. that adds a whole, you know, it's not like you're just a single person. Even that would be hard. Like, well, mm-hmm. okay, let me try to find somebody to live. And it's not that easy.
The stress of having their son fight cancer too, you know.
Oh, gosh. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Like that right there is like horrible. And then you've got this craziness mm-hmm. to add on top of it. Like that is stressful. That's stressful. And then, you know, what's the word? We always talk about oppression.
Mm-hmm.
In these houses where they just, or wherever, they just drain you. You know,
yeah.
They're trying to pretty much just, you know, rob you of all joy and energy, and you can't sleep because you're worried, you know. So, you know, if we had a kid that had cancer, I mean, my gosh, that would zap you.
Yeah.
And now you got this haunting stuff, you know, or whatever. It's like, oh, man, that's, and I wonder if that, you think, guys, you think that would, The cancer part of it too. You think they would attach to that? Where
we've talked,
they're like,
about
hey,
that.
They've got a kid or a family member that has cancer. Do you think they latch onto it to make to feed off of that type of energy?
I do,
because they're already upset and sad.
I do.
And
we've talked
scared.
About other stories that normally it's like some kind of abuse or something that's, you know, something else emotionally that is attacking a family or a part of, you know, a divorce or a death in the family or something like this or a medical condition. And so yeah, I think that's very possible.
Right.
They had a, I watched Sally Jesse Raphael. There was
an
episode in the 80s, and you could watch the actual family talking about it.
Okay.
And they told all, I mean, in horrific detail. And then the question's like, well, how did you know it wasn't a funeral home? And she's like, it was covered up that it had mm-hmm. been a funeral, that what the funeral home's name was. And she didn't go down in the basement, and she only saw the upstairs, and it was perfect for their family. And it was, she's like, oh, we can't afford this. There's no way. And then when she found out the rent was reasonably priced, you know?
Yeah.
And, but she said that the guy that rented it was not, the landlord was not upfront about it being a funeral home.
Right. Although he said that he did mention it to him.
He says that.
Yeah, right.
Well, during the,
of course he's going to say,
being Sally Jesse Raphael, she also brought in neighbors and people that, well, I guess the people that took over the house after them and lived in it. So they said that basically it was a bunch of hooey and they didn't have any issues. And they were real dismissive of it and said that they were just doing it for money and that the landlord had told them this stuff. And they're like, well, that's he said, she said. And they said, well, the reason there's no more demonic possession in there is because we had exorcism there and there's still the paraphernalia they used and it's still there. And, you know, you're welcome, basically. So the guy that was saying there was nothing to it said, well, it wasn't the house that's haunted, it was you guys that was haunted, which we've talked about that too, that families sometimes can bring that on because the Gary Demon house didn't have any other issues once the family moved out. So, but it's one of those things where, I mean, he made mention like, well, we're just trying to sell a book now, you know, like they were just trying to capitalize off of it. But,
the last thing I'm going to try to do is make up some story like that. I think we talked about that. Like, if you really experienced something like that, would you be forthcoming? You know, like, and to tell people, I really wouldn't bother me, but I'm certainly not going to make something up.
Well, I'm not saying attention that or money. This makes a difference, but they were a Christian family, and they had said, had brought that up, that this was something, you know, they believed in God, they believed in the devil, and she thought the kids were just being silly, mm-hmm. you know, like, oh, they're just letting their imaginations run wild because they knew this was a funeral home. There was a room called the North Casket Room and South Casket Room, and each boy had one of those rooms. And there was the body lift that they used, and the blood pit, and all these things sound terrible.
Oh yeah,
obviously, you know, but it's pretty typical in a mortuary, probably, right?
Right.
But so they thought, oh, the boys are just being silly. And then their niece moved in, and she started having, you know, like she was being taken advantage of sexually by demonic possession, and so then they said the mom actually told. An instance where she was sitting on the bed and she was trying to comfort her and like, honey, there's nothing going on, you know? And she tried to console her and talk to her, you know, from a religious perspective. And she said, then she saw this like hand that had like mm-hmm. reached around and was caressing her back and then like pulled itself back into the wall. And she said, when I saw that, I knew this wasn't like, this was real. And so then they were talking about all the instances where they were being, you know, energetically sodomized and all this stuff. And then they were talking about the succubus and incubus, which we've talked about before, mm-hmm. the sexual demonic, you know, spirits. And
let me read this little paragraph.
Go for it.
It's going to repeat what you just said, but just, I thought maybe for the listeners and like, so you were, I was going to say, so if you're listening with kids, sorry, you have to maybe explain something. Well, no, we should have said, it's no big deal. I'm not. Says the family soon discovered to their horror that their home had once been a funeral parlor, and the eldest son began seeing ghosts and terrifying visions. But the experience has spread to other family members and got worse. Both parents said they were raped and sodomized by demons. One day as Carmen mopped the kitchen floor, the water suddenly turned blood red and smelled of decaying flesh and so on. The video that the video I listened to also said rotting meat. Mm-hmm. Was another, and I'm like, that
sounds like a great Tuesday night to me.
Tuesday night.
pretty stereotypical stuff there.
Yeah, I'm up with blood water on. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can you imagine, though, like, if that really did happen?
It was like, these spirits were, or demons or whatever, these dark entities were going with them outside the house, though, too. That's the other thing.
Yes.
Is they weren't able to get away from it because they're like, well, why wouldn't you just leave the house? Well, they were being fought, and they said they didn't want
to. They weren't bound to the house.
They didn't want to include other family members, so they didn't want to go stay at, you know, their parents' house or grandparents' house and, you know, aunts, uncles, or whatever, because then they would just take it with them because they said they'd run down the street and they'd still be, you know, being attacked, you know. Mm-hmm. And it was just one of those things. At work, they said that Carmen was at work and, like, her computer would go down or the printer would act up and lights would go off and they'd have power surges. And only when she was there, like, nobody else had these issues. And her coworkers got involved and said, you've got to find somebody to help you.
Well, I will say, though, in all honesty, if it was a fax machine, those were evil. Those mm-hmm. machines, they're
absolutely.
Yeah. So
that's pretty also those, stereotypical. Yeah.
When I was in the office world, I hated fax machines. They'd never.
Yeah.
It's like Office Space. You just want to start kicking them. And
be it feels good to be a gangster.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. They dealt with intense and often violent interactions. The paranormal activity started the very first night when they moved into the home.
Mm-hmm. Welcome to the house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Welcome to my house.
Carmen was saying that her son started seeing this young man with long black hair down all the way to his hips. He would talk to my son every day. Sometimes he would threaten him. Other times he would stand there and just say his name, which was enough to scare him.
Mm-hmm. No kidding. Can you imagine? I mean, seeing a kid with long black hair down to his hips and he's dead would scare me enough. But then if he starts threatening you, like, oh, this is great. This is going well. At least be nice, right? You're going to be welcoming. So, when something, you know how, like, a lot of times we'll talk about stuff and it slowly ramps up, you know, maybe something here and there a little bit. But, yeah, right off the bat, boom. They're welcome to the scary stuff.
People at work were trying to say, hey, you got to get help. And they had suggested paranormal investigators. And we've talked about them before.
Not a whole lot.
No, we need to
cover
them. And
I have that on my list of topics because it's going to be a little bit of a, I think it's going to be a two-parter, but go ahead.
But they said basically it was Ed and Lorraine Warren. Yes. And
most people knew they were.
They claimed that the house was a former funeral home where morticians regularly practice necromancy. Now, that will definitely stir up some weirdness.
They did.
That's what their claim was. And that there were powerful supernatural forces at work that were cured by an exorcism. Carmen claims of the hauntings by an evil entity and subsequent exorcisms were dramatized in episodes of the television series A Haunting, Paranormal Witnesses, and Mysteries at the Museum.
Yeah. So Ed and Lorraine Warren, famous self-proclaimed demonologist. Mm-hmm. They've been involved in all kinds of the big stories. Amityville Horror. Mm-hmm. Gosh, here we go. Middle age moment. We even did an episode as my pick. What's the house in the, I don't know if it's London. It was in England. It was in the UK with a girl. It was a single mom with three girls and a boy or something like that, and the middle child, she was saying that they were throwing her around the room, and then, of course, people were like, what in the heck am I?
I can't remember what
Enfield Poltergeist.
Yes.
Yep. I was like, they were involved with that and many, many other hauntings, you know, and so I do want to do a story on them because they're so polarizing. Either people are like, oh, man, you know, they're doing their job, they're helping people, they're legit, and then literally you got other people like they were total fraudster. Mm-hmm. And I won't mention or say what my stance is on them because I'll wait till we actually do the topic or their story. But yeah, they were called in and they're from Connecticut, which obviously this is where the story takes place. Then they have a museum. They're involved with the Conjuring House too, you know, mm-hmm. Conjuring also. It said eventually, as far as this haunting or this house, it says other facts emerge, including the troubled nature of the oldest son, who, besides having a drug habit, was diagnosed with schizophrenia and admitted to some of the vileness going on in the Snedeker household. In addition, during the entire time the pandemonium was in full swing, the upstairs neighbor lived without incident. Most damning is the testimony of the author hired to write the original book for the Warrens and the Snedekers, Ray Garten. Garten eventually went on the record that not only was he given conflicting stories from the Snedekers, he was given directions to ignore those conflicts and sensationalize the story. Said that didn't stop the story from being popular, and then in 2002, the Snedeker case resurfaced when a documentary on the events aired on television, and in 2009 it was popularized once again. When the Haunting in Connecticut movie was
that's what it was. He was a neighbor and he lived upstairs, so he lived in the same place. Yeah,
and he said nothing. Yeah. But you know what? Great. But it doesn't really, I mean, it should not discount what they experienced. Maybe, mm-hmm. you know, how, I mean, again, so how does that, I get it. He could say, and that's fine. Nope, nothing on my end. Nothing happened to me. I didn't experience anything. There's, like in the Conjuring House, not everybody experienced, mm-hmm. you know, like they, the mom got attacked heavily and the oldest daughter or one of the daughter, maybe the middle one, you know, I mean, it seems like the entity or whatever it is doesn't attack everybody. Like sometimes the dad's like, I had nothing happen, you know, like, mm-hmm. but then they go after the daughter or the mom or the, you know what I mean? It's kind of like they pick even within the family. So
there's a weakness or a damage
mm-hmm.
aspect to it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And so just because he didn't experience it, heck, the same family doesn't experience it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, like Amy and I and Olivia and Elijah, we, you know, maybe Olivia gets attacked and I'm like, I had nothing. I didn't see anything. But she's like, oh my gosh, I'm experiencing this. Or
yeah.
Amy or Elijah, whatever. It doesn't mean just because he's upstairs and doesn't have anything should not rule out what they're experiencing, you know. But, you know, I get he has to say that. I mean,
yeah. And this entity really,
context.
Really took to Philip. The oldest son.
Yeah.
And he slowly became more irritable and reckless and then was issuing cruel punishments to his younger siblings. He actually was caught locking one of his younger brothers in a chest and just walking away.
Yeah, that's... I mean, I'm laughing not because it's funny, but it's like, whoa, something's out there.
He had to be institutionalized for a while, too. They, on that Sally Jesse Raphael, they said that he was not on there, and they said it was too troubling for him. And but they did mention that he was, you know, psychologically with dealing with cancer and obviously had schizophrenia.
I think on the video I heard real quick. I'm not trying to cut you off, but I think he actually, it wasn't just he was struggling schizophrenia. I think he actually tried to rape one of his sisters or somebody.
Well, he's. I think I was here. I could have heard that he wrong. Attacked his cousin Tammy.
Cousin, yeah,
and was.
They said rape.
Forced
on the
to spend 45 days yep. in the hospitals.
Yep.
Diagnosed with schizophrenia.
Mm-hmm.
And he told them about the entities that he saw regularly, noted that the medication he was on to treat his cancer would not have given him hallucinations or trigger any dormant schizophrenic illness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not to, I mean, we've talked about this too, that you can't always blame mental illnesses on this stuff, but it's like you wonder, like, did he have schizophrenia before all this stuff happened, or did it trigger it? And you
right.
know.
Well, you know, like the poltergeists, they, you know, supposedly they are kind of attracted to you know, especially like young girls, you know, going through puberty, mm-hmm. and they latch onto that. And so mm-hmm. maybe well, if he did have it before, they're like, again, schizophrenia, something going on in the family, they boom, right there. And and having cancer.
You know, I can't yeah. say whether, I mean, I know there's videos of, you know, more current day where they're still talking about like this happened. We're not changing our story. You know, they still stand behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, so you can't, I can't sit here and say, oh, yeah, they're lying, you know, but if they were lying, what a horrible thing, you know, to allow to happen to your children. So that I can't imagine as a parent that you would ever allow something to happen to them. You know, enough, you know, people like kept saying, you know, why just keep them in the home then if this was happening
right.
to them, which I understand the financial part of it. But mm-hmm. it's just, but I can't imagine if you were, you know, unwittingly trying to, you know, stir a mental illness up and make
oh,
it.
Oh yeah,
make it
that's horrible. That's
just, yeah,
so yeah, his parents finally decided to send him to live with his relatives. When they did that, he stopped hearing voices and seeing the spirits.
Yeah, I mean,
so that tells you a lot, right there.
I know, and
schizophrenia cured.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I mean,
that doesn't happen every day.
My gosh, I get you know, dishwasher goes out. It drives me nuts. I get all worked up. You know, and then we get a new dishwasher and I'm fine.
The voices go away.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, the book that Garten wrote is called In a Dark Place, The Story of a True Haunting. So, and then that, from there, then they made the movie. So, 1992. Was when he wrote that book. So, yeah, this was back in the 90s. I don't know if we said that, but there's a part here I saw here. Yeah, and it said the family, they had lived there a little more than 2 years before they finally did decide to leave. Can you imagine 2 years of that?
Uh-uh.
And there's a lot of families and people live in, you know, 10 years and put up with it. And that was, I think, that was The Conjuring. They lived there for that long, you know, a long time.
Yeah.
Here it is. Says apparently being assaulted and again, I hate to, but I'll say attacked by Satan's minions for months at a time wasn't good enough a reason to break the lease. Can you imagine like if that was half true
mm-hmm.
and they still couldn't break? Like the guy was like, "Nope, sorry."
Yeah. I found this interesting.
Not gonna do it. Not gonna do it.
The reported paranormal activity seemed to escalate when they were behind on rent.
That's what the claim was. Even they brought that up on Sally
Good
Jesse
point.
Raphael.
Good point.
Sally, they brought that up to him, and they said that that was untrue. That was not
right.
true. But the landlord, who did not show up on that show, had claimed it, and then so did the guy that lived upstairs, the neighbor. So.
But see, okay, and that's good because we have to because we don't take sides really on this.
Yeah,
you know?
No,
we could always say like, well, I believe that, or oh, I could see that happening, but I don't really. I'm not taking their side. I'm not taking the landlord side
because we weren't there, yeah.
Neighbor, but we do have to mention something. Mm-hmm. So if that's provided, you know, like okay, it's kind of weird, but then we have to say, but they deny that. That would be a good reason to maybe come up with something if you're buying
as,
on rent.
As far as the
wow, that's really going all out though, you know.
Sally Jesse Raphael show. I think they just wanted to see like a Jerry Springer moment. You know?
Well, okay, so
then
why
they did it got heated.
Did it? Well, I'm have to.
Well, mainly from the
family. Look that up, and yeah. you know, well, okay,
it's
so then
interesting. It really
if
is.
the owner or the landlord didn't show up, he should have shown up to, you know what I mean.
Fair, yeah.
I mean, I'm just saying, not, and again, not saying that he's wrong. He's making it up. I'm just saying, like, if I was being called out saying, no, you're lying, we did not conjure this up to try to get out of the lease or whatever, I'm like, you know what? I'm showing up, and I'm gonna explain it from my side, from my, you know.
Well, there were other neighbors there, too, that said that they were associated with the family that, you know, ran the funeral home, and they were in and out of there, and they assisted with helping with carry bodies, you know, in from the corner, bringing them into the hospital or whatever, and they never had any instances of anything weird happen in that house. So there were people that had said, this house has been in the community for a long time as a funeral home. It was not, there's nothing weird going on there and all that kind of stuff. So they shot a lot of that, and especially what Ed and Lorraine had claimed, so.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, I mean, I don't know. If I was the family, you know, that was the funeral home there, I'd be like, excuse me, you know, necromancy, mm-hmm. like, hello. Like, that's mm-hmm. that's a huge, I don't know. You'd think that would almost be like, you know, you could sue somebody for saying that. But
mm-hmm.
Susan Trotta Smith, she owned the house in 2009, sorry. She says that they lived in the house for 10 years and the house was wonderful. The stories are ludicrous.
Whoa. Ludicrous. Huh.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that when ludicrous is supposed to appear when you say that?
He's a rapper.
Yeah. Right?
This
is ludicrous.
Yeah, I mean, that's not the only house that we've heard that or a place that, you know, they're like, oh, we've been here, didn't you?
But they say that...
who knows? Yeah, who knows?
Yeah, that's, I mean, they brought the Warrens in and they brought a priest in and... They did a cleansing of the house, and there wasn't any other activity after that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so maybe that. Yeah. Maybe that.
Maybe they did clean the house.
Right. Right.
This is very reminiscent of The Conjuring House, by the way. Just saying.
It does. It really does. Every time I'm
it feels very Groundhog Day. Kind of.
Yeah. I was like, man.
Deja vu. Yeah.
Well, this and the Enfield.
Little vu.
You know, yeah. Right. With, oh, no, the little girl's just making it up, mm-hmm. and she's throwing her voice, or she... Mm-hmm. She's, you know, she did gymnastics, and so she's jumping off the bed. Well, maybe, and they kind of admitted that they kind of kept it going, but mm-hmm. they still right. were saying that stuff did happen. They just wanted to kind of make sure it stayed in the, you know. Mm-hmm. All I know is it would be weird that if you buy a house or you rent a house or whatever, and then you find out that it was a funeral home, that a funeral parlor, that would be weird.
Yeah.
Again, it takes a lot for me to be like, that, you know, because some of the stuff I'm like, that'd be awesome, you know. That demonic stuff though, that because I do, I mean, it's real, and so I, that's a whole different ball game, you know. And just you know, like if somebody said, okay, like so the house that we own that we have, so my father-in-law, when he was doing real estate, he's the one that found the house, and so he was telling us about it, and it was a HUD home, so mm-hmm. it sat empty for a year. And we're like, well, what happened to the, like, what happened? Why is it, you know, sitting empty? You know, who lived here before and all that? And it had been, you know, when it was built in 1988, and then several families owned it, right? Mm-hmm. Well, the last one was a guy and a girl. They were just boyfriend and girlfriend. He got in a motorcycle accident and got killed. Then she tried to keep it, but she couldn't. Just
yeah.
She couldn't make the payment, so she just had to let it go to the bank. So it sat empty, and then we come along and you know, got it. But you know, so I'm thinking that's, you know, but it didn't. I didn't, you know, obviously he didn't die in the house. But if the story would have been like, oh yeah, he got he fell off the deck or the balcony or, you know, something yeah. and died. I wouldn't be like, oh my gosh, we can't buy this house. Somebody died in the house. I know a lot of people get freaked out by it, but that doesn't freak me out. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I told Amy, I was like, you know, and I've told you, I've mentioned like my kids are convinced our house is haunted. Plus mm-hmm. I'm like, our dog Maggie stares up at the stairway in the same spot at the wall. And she's just, you know, focused on it, but nothing sinister or nothing malevolent. But I'm just like, if, you know, or like there's a murder in the house, that stuff doesn't bother me. I mean, I'd be like, oh, wow, what a story. That's a cool, but it wouldn't prevent me. I wouldn't go, oh my gosh, it's going to be haunted and it's going to be possessed. We're going to, you know, we're going to have all these different crazy things happen. I just don't think like that. I don't know.
My grandparents, and I won't name locations or even the city, but
no, we want locations and city, and names and we dates.
I
and,
actually no. have it pulled no, up here on no. Google Earth.
Google, yeah.
They lived a couple houses down from a funeral home. When I was a kid growing up, that was probably a little, they didn't have any hauntings or anything like that. Their house was older, you know, and they had like a cellar, and that was creepy to me, but their basement was super damp. Oh, yeah,
cellars are creepy.
It just was. I mean, there were creepy aspects, but I love their home, but they, a couple houses down, like I said, was a funeral home, and people lived there and everything, and there were, all kind, I remember as a kid, and I'm sure I catastrophized it just for, you know, because it always sounds spookier than what it was, but there were all kind of weird stories about what they did to the dead bodies, and that they found body parts in the trash, and they kept getting turned into the, you know, the police and the news and all this stuff. And so who knows? I mean, funeral homes can get a bad rap, you know, all the way around, and whether some of those stories are true or not, I don't know, but I remember hearing those when I was a kid, you know, and like,
yeah,
that's gross. But it did. It always creeped me out to go by there.
Oh, like, yeah, sure.
Just the drapes and all that. I mean, I used to drive by one coming back when I worked at Johnson Memorial down in Franklin. I'd go through Mooresville and go through the funeral home there. And I just, you always think like,
I know.
I don't know that I could live there. I mean, it's visiting and having a funeral there and all that kind of stuff. But to actually live there, it'd be a little, I don't know. Visiting, maybe staying the night, maybe exploring it a little bit, but
maybe living there, doing Airbnb,
like my girl kind of thing. You know,
yeah.
I don't think I could do it.
I did want to mention about, so when we moved in, I mean, obviously we saw it when we were just looking at houses, but when we moved in, so the we have our upstairs bedroom and then we have three bedrooms downstairs. And so.
Is that by the blood pit?
Yeah, yeah. And,
yeah, that's right. A whole other story.
Right, right. Yeah. So the room that's been Elijah's room the whole time, he's always, and Olivia's the only one that has switched bedrooms. The room was painted like a royal blue, you know, kind of like your shirts, you know, just like a Kentucky blue. That's why I say royal blue, kind of a little bit darker, maybe little like a tinge darker. But the creepy thing was on the light switch, is that what we call them, the plate.
Mm-hmm.
The plate. It was like a. What was it like? Amy, would be like a gargoyle or something creepy, and then and so we're like, okay, whatever, and then but the in the closet, in like look like I'm not it's not blood, but I'm just saying like in red mark or whatever they wrote something like kill die, and we're like, okay, what's going? Yeah, you know,
paint over that.
Yeah, we were like, you know, and we're just thinking this is weird, but again, and we're not like, oh my gosh, what's going on here? Is this some guy or kid having some type of, is he in an occult or something, you know what I mean? But it's just, I just thought about that too. I'm like, yeah, I remember that. We had to, yeah, definitely want to paint the walls, but we want to get the switch plate off, and we want to paint the inside of the closet because yeah, and Elijah, he remembers what it said. I can't because Amy talks about it, you know, sometimes, but I'm like, yeah, we're gonna get rid of that because I, you know, but I didn't. But again, I didn't go, oh my gosh, what happened here? What kind of family owned
what
this before?
Evil has been here.
Yeah, do you know what I'm saying? So, interesting, funny, creepy, crazy.
I found some more in-depth stories of happenings.
Oh yeah, go ahead.
Very first signs of paranormal activity inside the house was a series of bizarre sounds that would occur day and night. Mm-hmm. Mysterious rappings along with scratching sounds seem to emanate from every part of the home without explanation or reason behind the home. Lost my spot. Inside the home was a dumbwaiter of sorts.
Hey, that's not nice.
Used to, lower the bodies to the basement and bring them back up and whatnot.
Yeah.
It is said that the chains of the pulley would rattle and move on their own without anything being loaded on them.
Interesting.
The young children clamored that they were seeing ghosts walking through the home and were so scared that they wanted to leave.
Why would that be?
Carmen just took it as imaginative minds of the children.
Sure.
But she had an eerie feeling of the place herself. And then, let's see. Carmen was taking a shower one evening, and the shower curtain began to cling to her body. While science can prove this could be a natural phenomenon, Carmen claimed that the shower curtain began to mysteriously rise as it clung to her. She claimed the shower curtain wrapped itself around her face and neck, choking her. Blinded with shampoo in her face, she muffled cries for help. And she was eventually heard by her niece, Tammy, who was staying with them, and she pulled the unwrapped curtain from around her aunt's throat.
That was real quick. That was in the video I listened to talking about the shower curtain wrapping around her, that she was like, it was attacked, not that she just kind of.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Neither of them can explain what happened.
Yeah, man. That's
very poltergeist like.
Yes. Yeah. It is. So that's so scary. Yeah.
I think that The Haunting in Connecticut book and movie is the movie, and I haven't seen it, but I know at least from reading over, you know, through kind of how they went through the story. But they also, they really did focus a lot on how the effect, the demonic effect and the evil effect it had on the oldest son and like his outbursts and behaviors and, you know, the descent into madness and darkness or whatever. It's it's pretty scary.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was talking about how she kept getting repeatedly assaulted by unseen forces and told her husband about it.
Oh, Carmen.
And
happened to him too.
And revealed that an entity abusing her would become very forceful and slap her face.
Oh, not good. Not good.
Yeah, that'd get your attention.
Yeah. It would. Man, that's a lot going on there. There's a lot.
It is. Well, and especially since, like, they were pointing out, and I think the husband was the one that was saying, like, you know, we're God-fearing people, and to be energetically sodomized is, like, What do you do with that? You know, like, and what did you do to deserve that? You know, like, that's it's not something you're asking for or wanting, and it's just like, and you know, obviously the way to describe it just sounds terrifying.
Whether you had faith or not, it's that doesn't matter. It's just,
well, no, but it's just like they were just appalled by it. You know,
Yeah. Oh yeah, I mean, I know. it's crazy. It's a crazy story.
Yeah, and then her niece Tammy claims that she'd been assaulted, and then described that a quilt from her bed would levitate off of her all the way up to the ceiling. Then she, during these episodes, claims that she could see a black face or black shadowy face manifest in terrifying times, along with an unexplained whispering.
Yeah, they I think that might have been the like the shadowy. I think the video I heard that they call it, like a shadow figure, but not saying it was a shadow figure, but shadowy. Yeah, that's scary too, man.
It says once the family moved out of the house, there were no reports of any other supernatural activity, and they from many other subsequent owners. I thought this was interesting. It's one of those know before you go. It says there's no good place to park at the house. You can park in the town and walk down if you want, but it is a private residence, so do not trespass. Only observe from the street. Park in the library and walk up the hill towards the cemetery. There are no sidewalks. So it's good to know when if you're going to go visit.
This little paragraph start again here, Todd. The paragraph that I am looking at said that the movie is loosely based on the true story.
Yeah, they turned the dad into like a drunk, I think. Oh. he was not an alcoholic in real life. Yeah.
Said, it does say, sadly, Phil's cancer, or Philip, returned, and sadly he did not survive. It said, Mr. Philip, or Phil Snedeker, 38, resident of Johnson City, Tennessee, passed away at his home on Monday, January 9th, 2012. So 12 years ago that Philip did die. Young, 38. Wow. So sad. Sound like he had a horrible life being sick. And then if like I said, even if half of this stuff happened, my gosh, can you imagine? It's just terrible. So you guys have anything else, Nate, Sean, you want to share for the creepies on this Snedeker home?
I just get pictures of all the, you know, preparing of bodies and the body lift and the blood pit, all that stuff. And it's just the fact that those boys had to live, or, you know, their bedrooms were down in the basement where, you know, the North coffin room and the South coffin room. It just, you know, it sounds It just sounds terrifying. I don't think I could do it, because they said one coffin room is where coffins were kept, and they were, you know, I forget which one it was, whether it was the north room or the south room, but one of them they had where people could come through and pick out what casket they wanted, and then the other one, I don't know if they had bodies in them or they were, you know, about to be used or whatever, but it's still terrifying,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
And the toe tags they found and all that kind of stuff, and, you know, just the remnants of, you know, funeral home paraphernalia, right?
You know how we've mentioned on all these different stories, but it seems like we always go back to using, for an example, was the Indiana State Sanatorium. You know, we find, you know, we've been there twice, and we look at all the stuff we find behind, whether it's clothes, the laundry, or like the, you know, linens, and then we went in the kitchen, and we're like, oh my gosh, we had all the plastic spoons spilled over, you know, I mean, all the different things that have been left behind, you know, but just think, yeah, you move into a place that used to be a funeral parlor, and you've got the tools, yeah, and the mm-hmm. all the stuff that was used to take care of dead bodies. That would be just, that'd be a little weird.
Yeah.
It'd be kind of cool. I don't know. It's just, I don't think I'd pick the place to live there, but I don't know.
Yeah, the Warrens, I guess their nephew, John Zaffis.
Uh-huh, yeah.
He would spend some nights there.
Oh, okay.
He ended up having a episode, what do they call it, Phantasmania?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Basically it's sleep paralysis type thing. And he had the sleep paralysis and caused great mental and emotional anguish. And struggling with his own bout of the sleep paralysis, Carmen was in the other room undergoing the same event. They both conversed afterward, and like they saw the same terrifying visions. And
you mean like the same time,
yeah.
or just oh wow, oh that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. So whatever it was, it tapped into both of them at the same time.
Now that's that's different. I don't think we've heard anything like that, have we? Until now?
Not until now. Only here.
I mean, like, yeah. right. Yeah. Only here. That's insane.
Does it make any sense? I know there was kind of a lukewarm. In the box office, there wasn't. It didn't do that. The Haunting in Connecticut.
Oh, really? Did it do well? I thought it had. Or I guess I assumed.
Well, they said
it
did
why.
Better when it was released on, like, DVD, and they got...
a lot of them do.
The DVD release of The Haunting in Connecticut was the recipient of the Best Ghost Story Award in Home Media Magazine's 2009. Blah blah blah. But there was a sequel. Now riddle me this: how does this make sense?
I've seen it.
Gold's. And did you like it?
It was awesome.
It was awesome. Okay, so I just want to know how this. I mean, I'm sure it's connected or somehow. But Gold Circle Films produced a follow up, The Haunting in Connecticut,
in Georgia,
Ghosts of Georgia.
Yeah,
like how's it? It's Connecticut, Georgia.
Yeah.
And it was released in limited theatrical run and through video on demand. Blah blah blah.
Yep. It was really good. Other people didn't like it. Amy and I saw it.
Did it have anything to do with the first story then, or
nothing?
Nothing.
I don't. I mean, it's probably been 10 years since we watched
but
it.
But The Haunting in Georgia didn't sound as good.
It was great. We loved it. It was scary and creepy and mm-hmm. really good. Yeah. Story was good. I don't think it had anything to. Yeah, because it's like they're literally in Georgia and they're not in Connecticut. And I don't know if it flashes back to anything. I can't remember that part. But oh yeah, it's good.
Hmm.
Yeah, there's some scenes in there. We're like, oh my gosh. We're like. That would be really terrifying, but yeah, no, so we've seen that. We just haven't seen the first one. We haven't seen The Haunting in Connecticut, but we saw the Georgia one, you know. I would recommend it. I mean, you know, we streamed it, so for whatever it was, $5-$10 that we paid, it was good. I liked it, so. Well, I think that does it on the Snedeker House, or how do you want to say it, Sean?
Snedecker.
Snedecker.
Snedecker. Mr. Sneed. Yeah.
Yeah. Is your Mr. Snedecker here?
I got a Captain Hook vibe there.
That's funny.
Sneed.
That was good. That was a really good story to discuss.
That's right.
Because there was a lot there.
Yeah.
So scary, spooky. Would we go? Heck yeah. Put it on the list.
Put it on the list. Nate, you're in.
I already did.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't hesitate.
Heck yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Would you touch any of the tools?
Yes.
Like if they were there? Like if you could touch them? Like
I'd take them.
Like if they had them? Yeah.
I'm not, no.
Don't bring them here.
I'm not doing any of that anymore.
I would. I mean, if I knew they were, you know, clean. All that. I mean, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? I would, yeah.
Just don't drop the soap.
This is a funeral home, not a prison.
Yeah, hold on.
Well, that was one thing that the demon liked to do.
Yeah. Oh, all right.
On that note,
just saying.
No, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. Hey, let's move on.
Toe tap out of here.
Toe tag.
Right, yeah.
I'm gonna say a middle aged moment.
You're right.
I'm starting my streak.
The funny thing is I had planned to do a dark side, and I changed it real quick because I'm like, he's gonna think I'm doing a dark side.
No, I went the other way because I'm thinking he's gonna want to come out of the.
I'll remember that for
the very
time.
Darkness of this haunted.
We're gonna have to light
funeral parlor.
That's
this
it. I'm
awful
doing a dark
entity.
Side. I'm doing a dark
these
side.
Demonic.
I know. I'm doing
creatures.
A light. You're gonna like this light side too. This is Need to Breathe, which is a great band. How Wonderful We Are. It's a new song. It's actually a new
never
release.
Heard of
it. If you've not heard it, it's a great song. Go out and listen to it. Waking up in an empty bed. Spent the night with the things I said. Just hoping some nights there's a fire escape. Some nights all I see are flames just roaring. If I'm the sand, then you're the sea. You can always crash on me. I need you to admit that some things just exist. The hole inside my heart is a place where you fit in. I need you in my arms when the wind and waves get hard. They've carried us this far. We've never been alone now. Or see, we'll never be alone now. Excuse me. How wonderful we are. How wonderful we are. I know that the feelings changed, but my eyes see you the same. When they're open, it's hard now to make you blush. But my blood still feels a rush. When you hold me, just hold me. Oh, I need you to admit that some things just exist. The hole inside my heart is a place where you fit in. I need you in my arms when the wind and waves get hard. They've carried us this far. We'll never be alone now. How wonderful we are. How wonderful we are. If I'm the sand, then you're the sea. You can always crash on me. I need you to admit that some things just exist. The hole inside my heart is a place where you fit in. I need you in my arms. When the wind and waves get hard, they've carried us this far. How wonderful we are. And it goes on and on and on.
I like
how
that.
Wonderful we are. It's really good. I can't give it justice just saying it, but it's awesome. You would like it. Go ahead.
What's the name of the group?
Need to Breathe.
Never
it's actually a Christian-based band. They have some. Yeah, you should listen to them. They're very good. Actually, they have some really good hits. Probably, if you've not heard that the band name before, then you probably haven't heard their songs. But over the years, I have. They've had some really good stuff.
So they're not like new.
No, they've been around for I don't know, maybe at least 15 years.
Oh, okay.
So yeah,
I'll have to ask Amy if she's 15.
Yeah. Yeah, Need to Breathe. It's very
Need
good.
To Breathe.
Go check them out.
Nice. I like that.
Yeah.
Like the word.
It's encouraging music.
Yeah.
It's fun to listen to. They're, you know, I listen to all kind of different music, and sometimes I'm in the mood for something uplifting and has a good message. And this
when are you going
to
do a song on bluegrass or something? I don't know.
I don't know. Folk bluegrass, yeah. I don't know.
Irish jig dancing. I don't know.
next time now.
All right.
ICP.
Oh, my gosh. I got a funny story about them. Oh, man.
Do you?
Yeah. That's,
can't wait to hear.
I might tell it on the... Off I mean, it's not... It's just... It was. Oh, my God. You saying that, Nate? Like, oh, my gosh. I remember. Let's just say I worked at the Firefighters Credit Union. See, I worked there 11 years total. Almost 12. And our office or our building was right across from the Marat Temple. And so they had concerts all the time. And it was... And ICP came... At least once a year, and every time, because they start lining up, you know, 2 or 3 hours before. So, you know, we close at like 4:30. That's when the kids, you know, are starting to line up, and they're in their costumes and their paint, and they're just crazy. And it's like, but we had to walk across the street to our parking lot, and it's like, I'm like, do I have to walk by these goofballs, you know? but they just trashed. Like, so the next day we'd come. Mm-hmm. Come to work. Now we had a parking lot, but that was for the members, and then like our management was like our president and vice president and then a couple of the managers, they could park there, but the rest of they pay for our parking, but we had to park across the street, and we'd come back and just picking up they didn't keep it on that side of the road. It was they'd spill out in the street. We had bottles, cans, food, just trash. I'm like, oh my gosh. But every time we see them, like, oh no, they're back. Once a year, it's like,
Fago.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. We're like, well, not the ICP guys. You know, so there were a lot. Let's just say that the fans were a lot. A little went a long way. ICP. Yeah. I never got into them, by the way. Did you?
I did for a split second.
Yeah. Because that takes me back to the 90s and mm-hmm. early 2000s. Oh, man.
Just because some of my
hockey
teammates listened.
Oh,
do
to they
them.
Like him?
Yeah. So I sort of got into him for a second and then...
Got out.
and
out and all about.
Yeah, okay, I've experienced it. Yeah, gotcha. That's it just took me back like 20 years. Like, oh, my gosh, not these guys. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so mm-hmm. anyway, Sean, that's my ICP story. What do you got for us?
I have to remember to use Insane Clown Posse then for my next middle age.
Please do.
Darkseid. Darkseid. Second part of the announcements, you can follow us on our social media accounts, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and X. Email us at makopodcast@gmail.com. That's two A's. We are on all podcast listening apps. Make sure you hit the subscribe button, give us a 5-star rating, and leave a review if the app allows. Tell someone you know or don't know about the podcast. We sell all kinds of awesome merch with now 2 cool designs, so go get you some. We offer many types of show sponsorship opportunities for individuals and businesses. It's another way for you to support us, get your name mentioned, and or business promoted. Please email us, reach out to one of us, or message us on Instagram for more information. If you're enjoying our show, these are ways to help and show us support.
Yes, they are. I reordered me a shirt, by the way. I posted it on our Instagram and Facebook because the last one I made, I thought the image was going to be bigger than it was. So then this time I made sure, and it turned out perfect. So, yeah. We have the original. I mean, obviously the logo.
Looking at it right now, actually. It looks great.
Color logo. We still have shirts left of the black, just the white.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then now we've got this new cool design. I showed Brenda, who cuts my hair. And she thought it was the coolest thing. And I said, I agree. I think so. Mm-hmm. But yeah, go get you some merch. You know, mm-hmm. not forcing you to, but hey, rep the Mako, you know?
That's right.
Why wouldn't you?
I have no idea.
That's nonsense if they
That's
don't.
A rhetorical question.
Right? Yeah, exactly. thank you, Sean, for that. Nate, mm-hmm.
Yes.
Your turn.
Well, when you're not feeling yourself, eat you a Snitaker bar. And that's a wrap.
Sneed.
I tell you what, this guy's going for the big money. He's pulling out all the stuff. Go get you a Snedeker bar. That's a wrap. Thank you, Nate. That was awesome. Never know what this guy's going to pull out, do you, Sean?
I do not.
You do not?
I'm not like you.
Half the time, I don't know either.
You read me like a book, but can't read Nate.
That's even more impressive. Hey, thanks, Nate, and thank you, Creepies, for listening to our episode 151 and our discussion on the haunted Snedeker house. So until next time, Nate is your tech engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged.
And creeped out.
Keep it creepy.